Lord, thank you for this avenue of fellowship that you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in us, Lord. I'm asking you, Lord, to fill us up with your Holy Spirit where there's not any darkness left in us, Lord. Fill us up so much that it eases out all the darkness in us. Lord, and I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome time with you. We give our hearts to you. We give our everything we've got to you, Lord. We lay it all on the altar for you. We ask, Lord, that you guide us. You take us by the hand and lead us into those places you want us to go. Show us the things that you want us to do. I know you want this holy life in us, Lord. Show us what that holy life is. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you that tonight's going to be an awesome time because you're the one that's leading. Lord, I just want to thank you for what you've done in all of our lives this week as we've attempted and succeeded somewhat in sequestering ourselves alone with you. There have been times that I've done it, Lord, and there's been times that I've kind of slacked off a little. But, Lord, I've always had you on my mind, as you know. And I pray that everybody else here has done the same thing, has actually run after you, Lord. And I praise you for that, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that we will see fruit from this time alone with you, Lord. Some of us like to do it in a closet. Some of us like to do it outside. Some of us like to do it wherever. It makes no difference as long as we do it. And you're the focus of our time out with you, Lord. And I praise you and I glorify you. And I thank you, Lord, for leading us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Anybody got any prayer requests? How about a praise report? I want to pray for the people over in Yemen. If you've been hearing the Bible studies, you know that David's been ministering to a group of Christians over in Yemen. That have come under severe persecution by the Catholic Church. They have murdered three of them. Another one is the leader of that group, Hassan, was beaten severely, and it doesn't look like he's going to make it, and the Lord said he wasn't going to make it. He wanted to go home, so the Lord's going to take him home. But he has instructed the rest of them to scatter, and he would blow the winds of revival over them, and that people in Yemen would come to the Lord in mighty droves if they would scatter, like he told the disciples to scatter when he left. So, Lord, I'm just asking and I'm praying that your angels are sent forth to show these people what to do. David's given them instructions, but sometimes, Lord, it takes a supernatural effort for people to leave the comfort zone, even though there's persecution. And, Lord, I thank you that they're going to do what you ask them to do, and the winds of revival will go throughout that land. Muslims and apostate religions over there, that you got your chosen in, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to separate them out of there. And it's going to be awesome time with your people over there, Lord. And I thank you for the revival winds that are blowing across Yemen now, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that this 150 people group that Hassan has raised up by himself, not even knowing a whole lot about the Bible. In fact, he's a brand new, he still is a brand new Christian, but he had shown the people the love of Christ. And 150 of them have done away with the Muslim religion and some out of the Catholic religion. And Lord, I just praise you and I thank you that these are going to be just like the disciples that left Jerusalem throughout the world. But they're going to go throughout this country of Yemen and preach the gospel with signs and wonders following each one of them in the name of Jesus. And we declare it, decree it, and we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Okay, anybody else? I want to pray for Marlon also. Lord, I lift up Marlon to you. I don't know what's going on. Hadn't heard anything. But I'm just believing for the clean report from the doctors. And I ask and I pray, Lord, that if you would, if they come on tonight, that he would give us that good report. In Jesus' name, I just believe that cancer is out of him. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay, anybody else? Hey, I can sit here and pray all night long if y'all want to. I ain't scared. Praise God. Has anybody got anything that they need to pray about? Or any testimonies or praise reports? Yeah, Joe. I can't hear you for whatever reason. You're unmuted, but there's no sound coming.
No.
Ah, a little bit. It's just this very, very small volume. That's a little better.
Okay. Is it better now? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you.
I'm struggling to overcome my issue with Nora. I'm really struggling to overcome other things I can overcome, things, but we do have a problem with. I have a problem with overcome irritation and things. Nora, I need some prayer for that, please.
To overcome what? Now I couldn't hardly get what you wanted to overcome.
My irritation with Nora. I can't.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay, Father. In the name of Jesus, I ask that you put peace in Joe's heart about his wife, Nora. I thank you, Lord, that we prayed a prayer of faith for her. I believe you're going to do something. And I thank you, Lord, that now all Joe has to do and we have to do is thank you for doing this for him, to bringing her back into unity and submission in Jesus' name. Father, we just praise you right now that Nora is going to be the perfect wife again in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that the people that whoever she's congregating with, that they would have some sort of fallout or I don't know, whatever you want, whatever you have to do, Lord, to bring her back And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. But Lord, I ask most of all that you put the peace in Joe's heart that you're going to do that. Sometimes it takes a lot of patience, and you may be working that out in Joe as well. But Lord, we thank you that the end result is always going to be your victory. In Jesus' name, amen. Joe, it's done, buddy. It's done. Thank you, Lord. We just praise you, Father, for what you're doing in Joe and Nora's life right now. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Glory be to God for this great reunion that's going to happen soon. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else want to pray?
Hey, Michael.
Yeah, Leo.
I'd like to receive some prayer. We're trying to, we've been homeschooling our kids all along. And our oldest son, he really struggles with it and gives us a real hard time. Had a real terrible meltdown today. And I just ask for prayer that, you know, the Lord would just give him victory in his mind and bless him with understanding and confidence and just peace and diligence and just a willing heart to learn, not be rebellious and stubborn. And he gets so discouraged, and if he doesn't understand something, it just becomes a real mess in his heart and his mind. And I just ask that the Lord would just bless him. If you could please pray for him.
Yeah, I forgot his name, man. What is it?
Oh, his name is Jesse.
Yeah, I thought it would. I just came to me. Okay. Well, Father, we lift up Justin to you. Lord, you know what goes on in 10-year-olds' minds. Sometimes their mind wanders, and they don't know why. And Father, we just ask and we pray right now for a settled mind, a mind that is clear because you touched him. I thank you, Lord, for clarity of thought in Justin's mind, that he focuses upon what his work is about, and it's about learning. But Lord, I ask and I pray that you put it in his heart to pray before he starts his studies, that you would be with him and to lead him and guide him through this and give him the wisdom to understand what he's reading and what's going on. And Lord, I thank you for that. And I thank you also, Lord, for giving him patience to understand that you're going to teach him. He just has to wait on you. And not to get discouraged because you don't get it right away. I don't think anybody in here has done that when he was growing up or they were growing up. Got everything right every time they did it. But Lord, you teach us patience through these things.
Oh, yes.
And that's why even in your word, you repeat things over and over and over again until we do get it. And Lord, I thank you that you're placing that in Justin too, that he just reads over it and over it and over it and meditates on these things, these problems or whatever it is that he's having. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to bring him through this with flying colors. And I thank you, Lord, for giving this young man, this young boy, a clear thought process in Jesus' name. Now, we come against the tormenting spirits that are trying to hinder his learning ability. And we command you to go from him right now in the name of Jesus. I command every spirit that's trying to block his mind right now from learning to leave him in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, that he don't have any more roadblocks in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for teaching this young boy how to pray and to believe that God is helping him do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Michael.
Yes, sir. Yeah, Leon or Tim.
It's Sasha, actually. She's got a phrase for it.
Okay, yeah.
Since we've been here the past couple of weeks, we have runny nose and sore throat, but the
That was very staccato, was kind of off and on.
The past couple of weeks, my nose and throat have been sore. I mean, I've been having a runny nose and a sore throat, and the Lord healed me.
Thank you, Jesus! Amen. Praise God. That's the faith of a child. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. That's good, Natasha. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Dave. Hey, bud, how you doing?
I want to ask for a prayer of agreement. With you guys, will pray with me and agree with me that we don't lose any power the next few days here, and that no serious damage is done. We're having a rainstorm right now, and it's been raining all day. And it's all going to freeze and windy. So we're going to look at ice everywhere. It's already got ice everywhere now. Now it's going to get cold again, back in the teens. And it's literally rain going to be turning into ice, more ice. So I just thank you, Father, for hearing our prayer. These are going to be some trying times for this area. So this crazy weather is gone. I pray that we have your divine protection over this for most of, if not all, the households we can cover, that they're and they don't lose any power during this time because of the power lines getting all iced up and maybe the wind knocking them off. As it is, we're having a lot of trees starting to fall and limbs fall everywhere. So thank you, Father, for hearing our prayer in this.
Amen. Lord, we just thank you that Dave's not going to lose power and none of this people around him are going to lose power in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I got up this morning with to go to work, and I thought, feels like I might be a little icy out. Man, I got on my main road, and it was like all ice. It was just ice. You know, it's like I got the truck going, and just about, I don't know, three or four houses before the end of the road, I thought, I better check and see if I can stop. Well, that was just nice. You know, like, oh, I'm pumping the brake and then stopping and correcting it. You know, it was like, I got it stopped. I thought, boy, I hope it's not like this the rest of the way to work. Once I got on main roads, it's nice, but just you know, the side road I was on, it was like being on an ice rink.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Dave, where do you live?
Up in the ice country.
Yeah.
What part of the country?
Right, I live right here in Michigan. It's called Grand Rapids.
Ooh.
And we're probably, Grand Rapids is maybe an hour in from the land from Lake Michigan. So we're pretty close to the lake, within an hour.
Oh boy.
This is actually seeing a lot of winter weather the last few weeks. Up to that point, I was talking about, hey, I haven't seen any snow. And then all of a sudden, we were dumped on. It was like, oh, wow. And they got cold. We had that cold, that blizzard cold that went through. I've never seen it get that cold out here and stay that way that long. I mean, it was just cold.
Miserable, huh?
Oh, well, it was just... I just never seen it that cold before.
Really?
I mean, yeah, go outside and it was like, you know, We had our son's dog for a little bit, and I'm glad that they got him back. But you'd go outside and if they were talking about frostbite. I mean, you had to be careful that weren't exposed so long that you had to come back in because you wouldn't know what happened. There was a couple of days they didn't even let the carriers deliver mail out here. They wouldn't let them go out in the weather. They just stayed home.
We had a top temperature today of 78. I just wanted to throw that out there. Notice my shirt. It's 78.
You know, if it ever gets cold like that again, if you have a water gun, a squirt gun, fill it with water. You'd be amazed what you'd see.
I tried that. I took a glass of water and threw it out to see if it'd freeze, but
If it did, I didn't notice it. You know, I think some of it did, but it was hard to check. But I've seen that done. I thought that's crazy. You throw water out in the air and it just freezes as it hits the air.
There's something wrong with that picture.
It's almost like you got a ray gun if you got a squirt gun.
That's one reason I don't live up north. Praise God, we had 78 today. What, the high tomorrow is 40-something.
Hey, I'm going to say another prayer real quick.
Yes, sir.
My daughter's down in Costa Rica right now. So I forgot to get a prayer in for her. So far, it's been really good. She's her host family. She's down there for a college session. She wanted to get inundated with a lot of Spanish language because she speaks a little Spanish fairly well, but now she's being forced to have to speak it all the time. That's why she went down there and for a few, like 3 or 4 months. So she's got a really good host family and everything. But I just want to thank the Lord for setting her up in a really nice place, good people. Country's pretty safe so far, it looks like, you know, just a good culture. So thank you, Father, for making all our concerns work out. That Emily, she's in a good place, good host family. Everybody's been very pleasant down there, and it's just a nice country. It's a democracy. They do have some Christian values there. And thank you, Father, for looking after Emily as she pursues this culture to try to understand to get her language down better in Spanish, and also learn and be a good witness at the same time of the United States to the Costa Rican people as she's down there. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Okay. Thank you, Father. See, I know that kind of language too. Habla español. Okay, anybody else? I speak many languages. Oui. Forever Jacques.
There's Italian. It's called pizza.
Absolutely. Sharon, did you want to talk? Did you raise your hand? Okay, let me unmute you here. Go ahead.
Yes, I wanted to ask Dave, who is speaking about Michigan. Is that anywhere near Hartford, Michigan? Because I have loved ones that live out there.
I'll have to look it up on the map. I don't know. I've never, I don't know. I'll look. I haven't heard of it, but there's a lot of places I haven't been to around here, so I'll look. Yeah,
well, it's down, it goes down, and it's like about, it's just about 8 mobile trailer homes. That's it.
Oh, it's a small town.
Yes.
Yeah. My son just got married about a couple weeks ago to a girl that lives in a small town. All Catholic community, and I never heard of it before until I went there, and it's like, yeah, you know, it's very small, you know, just you get these, just, you know, a couple roads in there, and crossroads, and some buildings on a few sides here and there, and so you got these little farm communities still are out there that are like that, you know, like most, a lot of cities in the United States are like that too, the small ones.
Yeah. What can you farm in the snow? I'm just asking.
They just pretty much watched a deer run around this time of year.
That's about it.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? Praise report, comment. Anybody got anything they want to talk about tonight? Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Just thinking about how these family situations mirror what the body and the bride are going through a lot of times. It's kind of clues of what to pray for. And I thought about the bride needing to come alongside of the groom and it's time to get closer to Jesus. And that young man, the oldest child there, what that he's getting wisdom, but he needs understanding. He needs to realize the call on his life as that oldest child to help look after younger ones and to listen to his dad and take cues from the parents to help be, you know, help lead and help bring the family along and be ready to respond when, you know, to be led by the Father's eyes and not need to be led by his words and his rod, but to just be on the lookout for, to be obedient and pleasing to the Father. And, you know, these are things I want to pray for myself that, you know, and just like that young lady who received healing, that childlike faith, I want to stay in a expectancy that I am loved by a good God, a living God, and whatever circumstances I'm dealing with in life, what the enemy, like even with Dave and his situation, what the enemy may mean for harm, God can turn around and make it good. So just in all of our lives, I see that, you know, God, it came to pass. You know, anything that's a trial, there's an answer to it. In every way of temptation, God makes a way out. And if we don't have the exact word on it at the time, or we're, you know, that we've got brothers and sisters that'll be reminded tomorrow or when we get in our closets, whenever it is, to let these families come to our remembrance. And I got a simple word from an old deliverance minister a long time ago. He said that when he thinks of somebody or deals with somebody, he just says, "Lord, I bless so-and-so." And they said, "Well, that person's not even saved. What are you doing blessing them?" He was like, "Well, when I bless them, all I'm doing is saying, God, whatever they need, you know what they need. And if I bless them, then I'm asking you to give them grace under repentance." Or if I, you know, the simple release of a good word in someone's favor, it's that grace, it's that lining up and the Father letting us release grace towards somebody's life. And we don't have to agree with situations as much as introduce the light into the darkness so that God can work on their behalf and we can pray in tongues or pray in understanding, but be part of that salvation, part of that harvest. We can water what somebody else has planted, and somebody else, if I'm faithful to help the harvest somebody else's family member, then somebody else is going to look after mine. And I see, like in my job, I've had a cashier that's been out for over a week, 2 weeks practically, and I've got to deal with hundreds of people over and over and over and over. And I'm just playfully welcoming, you know, they're walking right up to me and interacting with me and Jesus. And I'm getting confessions. I'm getting so many wild little things coming my way. And I'm able to just, you know, give a little comfort. You know, I'm the food and beverage guy anyway, so they're coming to me for comfort, but I'm giving them more than they expect when they get to me. And it's just, you know, it is wild. I guess if you asked if we needed prayer, I would ask, like Dave's talking about losing power. I need more power of the gospel and the real living Jesus, because I've got people coming up to me. This one girl today said, "Yesterday I prayed for her. She wasn't feeling good." And I said, "Well, that ain't allowed. You're going to get better." She's like, "Oh, because George said so?" I said, "No, I didn't write the book. I just believe it." And she was kind of mocking me, but she came back today and she said, "George, I got hypnotized for weight loss." And I'm like, she's like, "I paid $60. This is like the fourth installment that I've gone and had it done." And I'm thinking, I didn't tell her she was getting full of demons, because I didn't feel like if I could get her loose from them that she was ready to get the strong man in the house. But just to know that here's you know, the devil's trying to drop some fruit right in front of me. And I'm like, well, I can pray for, I can bind and do some things as time goes, you know, as the Lord allows, I'm going to give her some truth and tell her that there's, you know, a better way, and that, you know, she's, this girl especially, she's told me before, I think she named her sons Thor and Odin or something like that. So welcome to Maine anyway. That's about all I got.
Amen. Ain't a whole lot to do up there, is it? Well, praise God. That sounds good. You've got a ministry right there at work.
Jesus is King of Maine, and he's King of Stephen King, too.
Amen. He sure is. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for anointing George to have the wisdom and the discernment of what to say to these people, and that will change their lives. We praise you for it, Father. Let him be the lamp that they're looking for, and not Satan. And we praise you, Lord, that there's a lot of people going to bear fruit because of the wisdom that you give George. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Father. All right. Anyone else? You know, along with what you're saying, George, that's what this sequestering unto the Lord is all about. It's about, if you're in the bride and you're wavering, this is when the time to get with the Lord and to get rid of the things that have hindered you, to allow the Lord to get rid of them, you know. I guess everybody got the email that I sent out about that last week, didn't you? Or earlier this week, I think.
I didn't get that one, Mike.
What, I sent it to you? Did you check your email?
Yeah. I was going to agree with George real quick about that. Just having to shed a little light here and there.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you're going to be bringing people through the finish line, but just by being there to water or seeds flow, because, you know, not to be discouraged, because I had a fellow at work, you know, and he's a Mason, and but his wife's a believer, and I've been, you know, over the past years or so, I've been trying to talk to him a little bit about, you know, Jesus and about the truth and get more of a gospel understanding out, and he had only go take it so far, and he had some understanding, but he kind of had his own little path going on. So I really wasn't sure where that was going. I really wasn't, you know, I just thought, well, and then they started having some issues going on here recently. And but he told me today, he said, you know, I was going out of my driveway and it was just kind of a, he's got one of these driveways that sloped down, and it was, he said, I had snow on top of it. And then there was ice underneath that, and I didn't know the ice was there, and I just stepped on that, and I fell. And that was, you know, actually it wasn't today he fell, but it was like last Friday. And he fell on his arm, and his arm got all hurt and sore, and he couldn't hardly move his hand a little bit. And he had trouble writing. And he says, and we prayed to the Lord and prayed for healing. And he says, you know, my hand's feeling better now and everything else. And I thought, wow. All right, you know, I was like, well, that's a good testimony, I said. But just to hear that, you know, you're thinking, because you're wondering, you don't know what the effect is, or not that you're the effect, but it doesn't mean you're the one, but it just by encouraging and whatever you share along the way and the other exposures people get, they start, you know, the Lord's called them, they're going to come around, and you're going to see the fruit come out. I just want, and I was myself, I heard that and I thought, well, thank you, Lord. I was really concerned. I really didn't, I get to the point where I didn't know what to say to the guy, you know, other than just being nice and talk to him. But it was nice and encouraging just to hear that.
Amen. Yep. We need to be a light. You know, somebody had mentioned Brother Lawrence last week. I don't, it might have been Pat. I don't remember who it was, but I got to looking back at some of the stuff that he said, and one of the, it seems like the main business with God that Brother Lawrence had was that he continually talked with the Lord. Didn't stop. It was every waking moment to him was in communication with God. And I thought about that, and I said, well, yeah, that's the way we ought to be. We ought to be when we, and he said he would just talk to him just like he does people, you know, and tell him what his problems were, and ask him, said, Lord, give me wisdom, give me the strength and the wisdom. I don't know if y'all know it, but he was a cripple. He had gotten into an accident early on in his life and was a cripple. And certain things that he couldn't hardly do, but he'd ask the Lord, Lord, give me the strength to do that every day. He'd do it every day. And he said the Lord would do that supernaturally, give him the strength to work his day out. And what I saw in Brother Lawrence was a devotion to the Lord that most people don't even understand. We hear about people like that, and we say, how in the world? Now, he was in a monastery, but he was a cook for 150 of them, and after that he was the people that work on shoes, cobbler. But anyway, the story is a short story, The Practice in the Presence of God. The Practice of the Presence of God. And it's just a little short thing there that he talks about in a conversation with a man that went up there to interview him about that. And he said, God's on my mind 24/7. And he had asked for that early on in his life. And he said when he would get so busy that Lord wasn't on his mind, the Lord would nudge him back because he had been so faithful, you know. And he'd feel that tugging to come back to him. And then he would, you know, tell the Lord, well, I'm sorry, Lord, I'm coming back. You know, and he'd start talking to him again. Sometimes we think that we've got too much going on for the Lord, when in fact, that should be the focus of everything that we do in this life, is Jesus, talking to Jesus. And I often see Jesus walking. It's just me now. Okay? It's just me. But I see Jesus walking down the beach. Okay, I don't know why, but that's where I see him. But that's what I like. I like to walk on the beach with Jesus, down by the water. And I can envision him in my mind, and I can, you know, ask the Lord, hang on, Lord, let me catch up to you, you know. And I'll catch up to him in my mind, just in my mind, that's just me. And I sit there and talk to him for a while. Yeah, not seeing him real, I'm just talking about in my imagination. And that's how I get back. That's just me. That's the way I get back to talking to the Lord. Since I reread, and since y'all had started talking about this practice in the presence of the Lord, and it actually has helped me to stay focused on the Lord most of the time now. I don't know if anybody else has experienced that. You know how we'll go through the day and we'll forget about the Lord, and we'll start doing things, you know, worldly things. And but even doing worldly things, you can have Jesus on your mind. Help me do this, Jesus. You know, I want to be focused on you all the time. It don't make any difference what I'm doing. I want to be focused on you. And that's what I tell him in the morning. I said, Lord, here's my hand. Lead me today. Fill me up with your Holy Spirit. I try to do that every morning and move out any kind of darkness that's in me. And let's go for it today. God is getting his bride ready. He has told us in that, if you remember, in that dream that Eve had, that he's going to move out the ones that aren't dedicated to the Lord. He's going to move them out. He said the door is closing quickly. And so that's why he wanted this 6 days of sequestering yourself with him. And that's what we've been doing now. You know, hopefully everybody's been doing that and talking to the Lord and getting right with him, making sure everything's right in your life, you know. Not that that's a law or anything. If you're doing okay, don't worry about it. That's faith, right? All right. Okay. I'm tired of talking. Yeah, Pat.
I went back to read that again as well. And I was asking the Lord what started it? What I was looking for in his life. I'm talking about Brother Lawrence. He lived with the concept that his prayer life should be no different in his prayer closet as in his working environment. There should be no differentiation between the two. It's all the same. It's only one life. It's all the same. Should always be the same. And it is, in fact, the same as long as you don't allow the old life to overwhelm that presence, I guess, is kind of what I was getting out of it. But and he's saying that it takes a bit of practice. It takes a little bit of diligence and a little bit of practice to do that. Once you get in the process or the habit or whatever it would be, it becomes easier and easier. But I went back to his actual testimony. I'd like to read it because it was, it certainly was not an evangelical Romans Road type of experience that we received in the churches. But he said, the interviewer was saying, the first time I saw Brother Lawrence was upon the 3rd of August, 1666. Do you know where he was physically located in the world, Michael? Was he in Europe somewhere? I'm assuming he's in Europe. Yeah,
he was in France, I believe.
France?
Yeah.
He told me that God had done him a singular favor in his conversion at the age of 18. That in the winter, seeing a tree stripped from its leaves, and considering that within a little time the leaves would be renewed, and after that the flowers and the fruit appear, he received a high view of the providence and power of God, which has never since been effaced from his soul. That this view had perfectly set him loose from the world and kindled in him such a love for God that he could not tell whether it had increased in over 40 years that he had lived since. So that, and then he says a little lower, he says, that it was his purpose that we should establish ourselves in a sense of God's presence by continually conversing with him, that it was a shameful thing to quit his conversation, to think of trifles and fooleries, that we should feed and nourish our souls with high notions of God, which would yield us great joy in being devoted to him. And that's basically the first page of the book, or part of the book there. But it dawned on me when I read that he received a high view of the providence and power of God. The first thing I thought of was the Sovereign God book. And I remember back when I first read this, back in the early 80s, my pastor gave it to me at that time. And I thought this really sounded great, because it answered the question that I had with him, was that, you know, he was a preacher and he had time to devote to God in a constant manner, and he didn't have to put up with the Brother Lawrence calls fooleries, or what did he call it? wish I could see that. I don't see it now, but he put it in such a neat way.
Here's what he said. He said that as far as the miseries and sins he heard of daily in the world, he was so far from wondering at them that, on the contrary, he was surprised there were not more, considering the malice sinners were capable of. For his part, he prayed for them, but knowing that God could remedy the mischief they did when he pleased, he gave himself no further trouble. No, he didn't worry about it.
That was what was so cool about it. He said, well, you know, I'll give it the once over, but I'm not going to be bogged down by it. God can change it at any time.
Yeah.
But, and I remember doing that, and the Lord took me through that process for a while, where it was just like Brother Lawrence said, you're constantly going through the day in a learning process and talking with the Lord all the way through the day. But for some reason, I've gotten out of that, and I need to get back to that. And I look back at what he started with. It said he received a high view of the providence and power of God. And think of that verse in Revelation, when Jesus is talking to the church, and he said that you've lost your first love. Go back and do those first things again. And I feel like maybe that's a little bit of where I am at. I've either deviated, or I have lost, or that view, that high view of the providence and power of God has been eroded in my life, or something like that. Because I know that when I went through this the first time, it wasn't something that I had to grind my teeth and you know, catch myself and say, oh, I'm not thinking about God, I'm not talking with the Lord. So, you know, it was something that just came naturally. And I think it was because of that motivation that God puts in you. So that would be my prayer for myself and for us, is that God would put that motivation into our hearts in a strong way and renew that first love and restore that constant conversation with the Lord in our lives through the process. So matter of fact, I'll just pray about it. Father, I just thank you for your, I thank you for your word, Lord, that it's alive and living. And I thank you for you giving it to us, Lord. Thank you for your goodness, your authority, your strength, your sovereignty over all things, Lord. I ask, Lord, for myself, I ask for my brothers and sisters here listening, that you would bring back and enliven, restore, strengthen our first love of you, our first high view of you, Lord. Like I think Elijah, when he saw you high and lifted up, and I think of Daniel when he saw you and his knees went out from under him and he fell on his face because of the magnificence of your presence, Lord. I just ask that for us, that you would restore that love, that mercy, that grace, that fellowship in your presence. Lord, restore us in your presence. Strengthen us. Give us grace to focus our heart upon you. I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You have brought your spirit, put your spirit and your word to enliven it in our hearts and to bring us and to restore us unto yourself, Lord. And Lord, we just ask you to do it. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, into us, into our hearts. Enliven your life in us. Prepare us to walk in your word and in your way and in your strength, in your promises. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for that. Amen. Anybody else? Yeah, Andrew.
Well, I have a question. It's something that I just finished before I came on, and I'm quite excited about it. So it's more like a statement as to, first of all, I read these verses in chapter 6 of Galatians. Brethren, this is 6:1. Brethren, if any man be overcome in any trespass, ye the spiritual will restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, looking to thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Okay, and then it goes to bear the burdens of one another, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, I assume that's the law where it says that he's what's Romans 8:1-2 there, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath freed us from the law of sin and death. So fulfill the law of Christ, because you have the spirit of life in Christ to help the burdens of one another. But as I went down in the fourth verse, it says, but let each prove his own work, and then shall he have the glorying for himself alone, and not from another. For each shall bear his own burden. And I stopped there and meditated on that, for each shall bear his own burden. And, you know, immediately something might come into mind, you know, what's going on? You know, do you have a burden? Do you have a need? Do you have a healing maybe? And I'm starting to think about God being sovereign. And I was going, well, wait a minute now. Isn't God just putting that in my mind right now? That I need this need, and that he's going to meet this need? Do we forget to look up to the Lord and have him meet our need as our Father? He's our Father. Our Almighty God is our Father. You've been redeemed and ransomed. You know, ransomed is when you're in prison, when you're captivated to something, when you need deliverance. And I'm just saying sovereignty of God would carry over to these things where I need to be delivered of something, where I need a need of something. Even the things that I hear that people are praying for right now, this has actually happened to you. Like he's already told you, you need to pray for this. And I'm just, the question is am I right here, or have I gone off onto some other side here that God is now placing through his sovereignty a caring Father for you to tell you to ask him for something, to ask him for this burden to be taken care of? And you're automatically doing it because this is what you're supposed to do. But isn't this greater, is he that's in you than he that is in the world? And he's actually having this conversation with you, but you don't really know who he is. You're just thinking that this is all your idea, but it's sovereign God putting it in your head. We all like to hear from the Lord, and you know, when you're in the midst of one of these problems or burdens, you know, you're trying to figure it out, you're trying to do it all yourself, and you just forget to go to the Lord, you forget to look up to him. And it's just so neat that that he would also tell you at that point, this is what you need. This is what I want you to request of me. This is what I want you to ask of me at this point. And what is he not sovereign over? You know, does he not put things in your mind? I know when the tempter comes, you don't want to listen to him. You wouldn't really want to listen to him, nor do you want anything from him. But then you got to think on the other hand, well, isn't God sovereign here? Isn't he telling me to take the sword out right now and cast down every reasoning and every high thing that is against the knowledge of God? Now, I know you guys are knowledgeable here. And I know a lot of you are very knowledgeable. You know, and to stamp on those serpents and those scorpions, those things that attack your mind, and those things that will put fear and put you to flight, because you have power over all the enemy. You know, this problem, this burden, this long suffering is a fruit of the Spirit. Are we not, like, I never really thought, you know, well, you know, long suffering, how does that work, Lord? You know, but he's isn't he not telling us actually what we are going to be doing in the future here? You know, isn't he out of time here, and he can already put within our minds what we pray for and what he actually wants us to pray for in a caring and loving way toward our brethren, because he's the Father and he wants to see us all together as one. And all together in Christ. And it's just, well, I don't know if that's a question, but you know, then he had me thinking about a time when my daughter came over. It was her birthday on January 31st. So she came over on Friday the 1st. And I said, well, this is great. You know, I'm gonna show her some of these new music videos I got from you guys. And there was one particular music video. She's Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come fill this place and fill the atmosphere. But as the song goes on, she starts speaking in tongues right there on stage. And she's really excited. And I said, well, I don't know where my daughter's at. I don't know what kind of church she's in, you know. So I show her this video and I said, I want to show you something here. I want to see what you think of this, you know. And she's going on, but just before she comes to the point where she's going to start speaking in tongues, she goes and she says this, she's not going to go into that blah, blah, is she? And I was going, well, what do you mean blah, blah? And I just watched this for a second. And then she started to speak in tongues. And I said, have you ever confronted this or seen this in the church, you know, where your new husband goes to? And she said, oh yeah, they do that there. And I went, oh, and I said, so you know about speaking in tongues and it's a spiritual gift, eh? And I said, you should pursue that, you know? And I told her the verses there in 1 Corinthians there in chapter 12 and 13 and 14. And I was just excited that she knew about that, you know? So it now that that's often off to a good start, you see, that she knows that there's something there. And I told her I spoke in tongues too. But, you know, I have to just give her whatever little bit I can at a time, you see. And so, you know, we had a nice birthday party. But then, you know, I'm going, well, wasn't all that orchestrated too? God's sovereign. As everything is, you know, and now he heard our prayer. I was just so excited. Even the bad things, you know, because God's sovereign over that, you know. You got 45 in Isaiah, and then you just got to reverse those two to 54, and it shows you what he's sovereign over there. 45 and 7, the good things and the bad things, you know, some, he even mentions them as evil things, you know. Those are the two verses that are in Sovereign God, chapter 1. And, I was going, well, yeah. Wouldn't he show you? Now, this is the time. Take out your sword. And what is this sword but the word of God that he's put into you? Like, why is it that whenever something happens, you know, you're there. You're sometimes on, I don't know, like, I don't know those words Pat was mentioned there with the ridiculousnesses. You know, are you going through a ridiculousness here where you're suddenly, you know, God's going, why don't he just ask, you know, why don't you just come before me, you know? Everybody here, you know, has a father, you know. And I'm sure those were those days where you were really wanting something as a young person. And you said, they'll never go for it, you know? And I was just kind of wondering, is that what we're kind of thinking with our Heavenly Father? Like, how crazy can it be, you know? Over there in 45, you know, I 45 and 7, and then you come to the 11th verse, and I remember that one, he told you to command him, you know? And I'm just so flabbergasted. And then I went, wait a minute, God's sovereign here. He brought me. And oh, there's just so many things, you know, you sometimes highlight or circle, and then you go, wow. And there's some really, really cool verses there on how he's going to be merciful to his people, and how he's going to really, he specifies this in one verse there that there is only one God here, you know, and there's just one, that's it, you know, and he's our Father. And I'm just excited that, and there it goes again, even now, God is sovereign over this. I that's all I have to say for now.
I like it when you get excited over the word. That's cool. Thank you, Lord. I do too, Andrew.
Oh, it just wants to make you going, like, here's my daughter's Bible book when she was learning with me, you know. So I went into that song there at the end there, it is well with my soul. Oh, it was, I was having a nice party here. Anyway, gotta praise God when you feel like this.
Amen. Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? Hi, Leanne.
I just wanted, Andrew, did you answer your own question there?
But you know what? I think the question, I think Sovereign God took care of it as I was talking about it. Anyway, great is our Father. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father.
What, did you want to answer it, Leah?
What's that, Michael?
I said, did you want to answer it?
No, I wasn't sure if he answered it.
I understand. I was just messing with you.
But I enjoyed what you had to say. I just wasn't sure about it. You got your question answered.
Amen. One of the things that even that those scriptures in Galatians that he was talking about, let me get back here to it. Let's see. For if a man thinketh himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let each man prove his own work, and then shall he have his glory in regard of himself alone and not of his neighbor. For each man shall bear his own burden. But let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Let each man bear his, for each man shall bear his own burden. I know that when he first said that, the thought came to my mind. A lot of times when we have problems, we go to man rather than God for our relief, so to speak. And I say that we what I read a while ago in here about Brother Lawrence, when he had something on his mind and he wanted answers, he didn't go to a priest or a brother in Christ. He went to the Lord. He talked to the Lord about it, and the Lord would straighten him out in it, you know. And I remember one time what Hagin said, Brother Hagin said, Kenneth Hagin said. He said the Lord told him that the gifts of the Spirit were for the evangelistic effort, not so much for the church as it was for the lost out there, that the signs and wonders. He said the Lord told him that. I believe it. You know, if you think about it, we're supposed to be mature enough to take the sword of the Spirit and to utilize it ourselves for the things that we see in our world, ourselves. That's where he wants us. He doesn't want us to, he said, the one about calling on the elders of the church in James, he said that's for the immature Christians that are, you know, and they're lost. The immature Christians. As a mature Christian, we are to utilize what the Lord that's in us and the faith that he's placed in us to take care of the things around our world. You understand what I'm saying? It's maturity. You know, I understand about when you're in a fellowship and all of that you want somebody to pray for you. That's okay. But he wants us to get to the point to where we do it ourselves and we rely on him implicitly. We, he, you know, that's a, that's that coming up maturization process that he has us in, and at some point in time he wants us to break off and just rely on him implicitly at all times, and not to rely on Brother David or whoever, you know, whoever. He wants us to rely on him. And if you do that, that's that maturity level that he's wanting out of every one of us, just to walk and keep our eyes focused on him. Yeah, Leah.
So are you saying, would that be bearing your own burden? Is going to the Lord with your burden instead of going to man?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify that. I thought that's what you were saying too, and it sounded plausible and theology, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see what Andrew's got to see what he says about it.
But you see, there's another burden up there in verse 2.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you got to do that one too, as no matter what maturity you're at. You have to bear the burdens of one another.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. You as a mature Christian, take care of the things that you know about. That's your brother, your sister, all of the, you know, around you. You pray to them too. But there comes a time. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Because I know that a lot of people in here have loved ones that they would like to see to find the Lord.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And a lot of people, you know, they might have these addictions or whatever, you know. You might have an addiction to liquor or something. Those are people who have already overcome their addiction, okay, have been instructed by the Lord to do that, and they've overcome, and he showed them that this was the problem, and it took a while maybe for them until they finally got their deliverance of it. But God already told them a long time ago, you can settle this. You have authority in this. That's the point, you know. Everyone might know of someone that has a problem, but you know, if they're a brother or if they're associated with family or something, you know, that they should know better, and this has to come to fruition now, because you're being drawn by God to do this in your life, you see. And God, even though he drew you to salvation, to the new life, he still draws you all the way to extended, more personal relationship with him. That's what I find so uplifting, that when he continues to draw you closer, to be more and more mature in Christ, to have that glory that he wants you to have. You know, he wants to share his glory with you. You're his son, you're his daughter, you know. You're no longer a child, but you're mature in the Lord according to glory. And when you just meditate on that, on what it all pertains to, this glory of God, and you see that it has a lot to do with his life. So the more of that life you get in you, the more of that glory you have. And it's just remarkable, this word of God, anyway, that gives you the life and the glory. And anyway, that's it.
Okay. Amen. Go ahead, Pat.
I was listening to a YouTube video. It was a Ravi Zacharias. I don't know how I got on him, but I don't know if anybody's familiar with him, but he is, I would say he's an intellectual evangelist. I guess his gift is wisdom, expounding the Word of God. He reminds me of somebody that's just massively intelligent and, speaks sometimes about things and logic that I have to like go back and say, wait a minute, you just said that. I have to go back here and actually put 1 + 1 + 1 = 3. And I have to work through it to even come to the same conclusion. But anyway, not that that's a big deal. But anyway, I was listening to him. He was invited to talk to the Mormons at the Mormon Tabernacle or whatever there. And so he said he caught a lot of flack by going, but he's at the age where he doesn't particularly care about that. He just serves the Lord, and wherever the Lord leads him, that's where he goes and takes whatever he gets. But anyway, he gave a short testimony in that talk about his life and how when he was a young kid, about 17, 18 years old, not quite sure of his past history at that point or whatever, but he tried to commit suicide because he saw that his life was just it was purposeless. It was useless. Couldn't see any purpose in it. And he didn't succeed, obviously, in committing suicide, but he was in the hospital. And a man came in and gave him a New Testament. And he was reading in it, and he said that, and it was interesting because the very verse that God used on him was the very verse that he used on me. And it kind of applies with this, the setting of this verse applies to what we're talking about, even in Brother Lawrence and in maturing in our walk of, learning to not only learning to overcome our own burdens, carry our own burdens, learn to overcome, but also and in that process of learning to overcome, many times we have to depend upon our brothers and sisters to pray for us and cast down the demons and input thought, input scripture, and just pray for us until we can get on our feet, and God takes us through a maturing process where we can start to grab those things, and we start to anchor down on that truth and rest in that truth and see the fruit of it actually permeating into our life, and we're resting in it now, and so we're now maturing to the point where we can now be comfortable enough and rest enough in that and confident in our confidence in that truth that we can give it to others confidently and help them to start to rest in that particular truth as well. But Ravi came to God opened his eyes to that very same scripture, and that was in John 14:6. Jesus was talking to Thomas, and Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. And I'm just applying this to what we're saying tonight, and even in these things, this book of Brother Lawrence, and being in that presence. What is that? Being in that presence of God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, no one comes unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, you would have known my Father also. From henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long with you, and dost thou not know me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I say to you, I speak not from myself, but the Father abideth in me, doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. And I was thinking about that is that maturing process of a son that the very words of the Father dwell in us, and he dwells in us through Christ. And I don't know if that's the maturing process. I don't know if that's the Brother Lawrence in total conversation, a constant conversation with Father all the time. That place of the secret place of the Most High that we read about in the Psalms, or if it's all of them, and probably is. But I was just, it's just that the Lord led me to these scriptures today as I was listening to that video, and I was just thinking about this whole maturing of Christ in us, and the Father being that same life, that same life within us. So I don't know. That's all I had to say.
Well, that's, did you listen to his whole message to the Mormon church? Or did you understand what he was doing? He was giving them the truth of the gospel regardless of what they believed. And what he did, he says, you have to go by what the word of God says and not what man tells you. And he was preaching the truth of the gospel to those people, and they were sucking it up, it looked like. Didn't it?
Yes. And you could now,
whether they invited him back or not is the question.
He came in a very unoffensive way, mm-hmm. though. He started it out with saying that there is a common there is a common goal or a common purpose that we all have. I'm thinking he's saying Christianity and the Mormon religion, etc., in that we are trying to create fertile ground, mm-hmm. that morality and righteousness can be nurtured in. And he took it at that foundation as common ground with them to do so. But quite frankly, you could have transported that particular message to 90% of the churches today and said the same thing. you know, and he has that gift to speak in that unoffensive way, but providing the truth for the, to them. And and actually, when it's all said and done, it's not what a person says as much as it is what God is saying to you through those words in your heart. So anyway, yeah, it was a good message.
It's been a while since I've seen it, but it was a good message. Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I know who you're talking about, Pat. I saw him years ago when I first became a Christian at a I don't even know if you would classify it as a mega church, but it was like a big Baptist church, and they had him speak with a couple others. I guess you could call him an evangelist, but I always heard the term is, you know, it's not really, I mean, from what I understand, a biblical office, you know, apologist. I mean, we all should be apologists, you know, defending the faith. You know, we should be, you know, to those who don't understand, you know, to the lost world. But yeah, I always saw him more as an apologist. I mean, yeah, he's a brilliant individual. I mean, well-educated. You know, I think that's what drew me to him. You know, I used to consider myself an intellectual, or I was always, you know, for some reason, I mean, drawn to that crowd. But then I realized, well, you know, I mean, it's easy. Those crowds, a lot of times, you know, I mean, yeah, they don't really believe what the Bible says. A lot of them, you know, I mean, I guess I was always drawn to the ones who were critiquing the Bible more than those who were actually expounding on it, or, I mean, talking about it. But yeah, I mean, he is interesting. Yeah, he is an interesting believer. You know, just his knowledge and wisdom. You know, he can speak to anybody. And I've heard some of his recent messages where he speaks at various colleges. You know, and you have all these individuals who are just trying to prove him wrong. But he can. I mean, he's very eloquent. You know, just very. I mean, like you said, non-threatening. Can speak to any individual about anything. So yeah, yeah.
What hit me was that God's given him wisdom to understand the cause and effect relationships on some very deep things that happen within us, or, you know, and it was like, and it's interesting because God has us all at, you know, there's all kinds of us out there in the world. There are the people that focus on, that tend to focus on the cause and effect relationships. They don't need to know that they not only need to know that atoms, you know, form certain things, certain molecules in our body and this and that, and form such and such and whatever. And then everything is coming from the nutrients and the minerals and whatever, the ground, etc. And that's all. And even on the website, on our, the UBM website, there's a story about quantum mechanics or quantum light, describing that all things are made, that God created light first, and light is the foundation of all these things. But not to get off the subject, but that is kind of a mental gymnastic, like to go down those paths and explore and all that sort of thing. Some people are like that, but some people are like Mary, that simply want to be close to Jesus, want to love him so much that they just want to be near, and that are blessed with more faith and love and trust, and walk with the Lord in that way. And I think I envy those people, because those people that are tend to be that way are more, they seem to be more able to trust and grab onto faith and just trust God and go that way. And I wish I was that way, but unfortunately I've been plagued, I think, with a focus on the other direction, where I'm have to kind of know the cause and effect and whatever. And I used to feel guilty about that personally, until I realized that I didn't create myself. God created me to be this way, and he created Michael to be that way, and he created Joe to be that way, and so each one of us bearing our burdens have our own gifts to provide to the world as we uncap this basket off of our light and allow God to shine through us. And so that was one of the things that I saw here back in Brother Lawrence again, where he said, I have to read this. It was kind of that he says that he had long been troubled in mind from a certain belief that he should be damned, that all the men of the world could not have persuaded him of the contrary. In other words, he was dealing with an awareness of the load of his own sin and guilt or whatever, but that he had thus reasoned with himself about it. I did not engage in a religious life, but for the love of God. And I have endeavored to act only for him, whatever becomes of me, whether I be lost or saved, I will always continue to act purely for the love of God. I shall have this good at least, that till death I shall have done all that is within me to love him, that this trouble of mind had lasted 4 years, during which time he had suffered much. So he went through a process of this personal struggle with sin in his life for 4 years, and then finally booted it out the door and said, I'm going to love God no matter what. If he tosses me in hell, well, then whatever. So it was kind of interesting. I don't know where I went from how I got over there, but anyway,
yeah. But listen to this, Pat, to make you feel good. Here's what Larry said. I call him Larry. He said, there was a great difference between the acts of the intellect and those of the will. Acts of the intellect were comparatively of little value. Acts of the will were all important. Our only business was to love and delight ourselves in God. Now, I thought I'd just lift you up there a little bit. Give you a little something. In other words, what he's saying is intellect's okay, but what's noteworthy is to delight in and love the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
No, I would agree. I'm in the same boat there, Pat. Because, I mean, when I first started sharing my struggles last year, I kind of felt like I got a lot more in common with you than I figured I would, you know, Pat, you know. But yeah, that's another one. I was always leaning towards being an intellectual type, but I look at it now and I'm like David said, you know, numerous times I heard it and I thought, wow, that makes so much sense. You know, you can literally learn your, what is it, I think about intellectuals or just the, you know, we're like the Pharisees, you know, perfect examples, or just the Sadducees, this that spiritual elite, you know, as they consider themselves. And that's what I used to have this attitude at times, you know, and it's just, But yeah, I mean, I forget what he was saying. You know, you can basically learn yourself out of the faith. You know, like you said, you struggle with faith and just accepting things and just, you know, instead of having to figure it out down to the nitty gritty. You know, I think that's the biggest struggle with it is, you know, you've got this certain mindset and the certain way how you've always done things. You got to know it all instead of just accepting. You know, I hear some of you know, and it just clicks for you. And it's like, yeah, because, I mean, you are exercising faith or you're just believing. You know, you're not stuck in that mindset that, you know, I don't know if anyone else struggles with this. But, yeah, I mean, I can relate with you, though, on that big time, Pat. And that's, I mean, it's nice. But, yeah, I mean, ultimately, it doesn't really help, you know, with the faith. I have come to realize that. And it's just unlearning that and getting basically to where it's like, hey, I mean, you know, it's, well, I don't know exactly how to say it there, but no, it's, I mean, yeah, it's a big struggle. I can agree with that.
It reminds me of, I remember reading Solomon when he was, I have to go back and read it now, but it was when he asked the Lord. The Lord said something about gave him said, "Ask me whatever you will," or something like that, and he asked for wisdom to guide his people, and so God said, "Well, because you didn't ask riches of me, I'm going to give you wisdom," you know. And I remember when I read that, I thought, "What? Okay, I'm going to ask for wisdom too, since I'm going to get some too," you know. And the Lord took me through a time of that, exactly learning those cause and effect relationships that in His Word. And it was a very, it was exciting is what it was. It was very exciting to understand those things or whatever, a lot of the stuff that he showed me in his word. But I also got to experience the end result of that is that you start to depend upon that understanding and God giving you that understanding, and it starts to shift you out of faith onto a mental resting place type of thing. And then you start to experience your failure in the ability to actually do those things. In other words, I believe the Lord took me to a place where I knew too much. I shouldn't have learned that because now I can't do it. And it was very disheartening and not good. And Solomon himself is an example and a testimony of exactly how far south that can go, because he learned to depend upon that God-given wisdom, and it led him away, and he turned his back on the commands of God. He turned his back on many things, started bringing in many wives and many religions, and his heart was turned away from God. So, and I pray that the Lord will even correct me now if I am tending to rest upon that knowledge and that cause and effect relationships, as opposed to simply trusting in what he said and walking in that and resting in that, because it's that resting that I seem to struggle with. So anyway, I don't know if that's a...
Well, I know that you were talking about yourself and then you referred to me, and I'm trying to think, what in the world is he trying to put me in? What kind of category? Am I the simple-minded guy that just sits there and I'm just playing with you, Pat. Don't take it to a fan. just believe. Well, yeah, that's me. I don't try to analyze everything I come to, and that's the way I always been. You know, I just accept it and go on. And you're right. It's a relief not to have to analyze it. Now, sometimes we like to sit there and peel back the layers. I do. I like to sit there and peel back the layers, you know, in those verses. But the faith part of it, it just came. I mean, I just believe what the word says. And I understand what you're saying. And that can be a hindrance, in a good way, actually, if you turn that around. Go ahead, Dave. Did you have some? I'll get right back to you, Joe.
Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, if you go back in the all the way back in Genesis, where we see where faith had to be practiced, and we look at Abraham, where God told him to believe for Isaac. And he told him he'd be a father of many nations. You think about God told him, this is what I want you to believe for. That's very interesting. And that's where we start, where we're considered to be children of Abraham, if we believe God for his promises, right? So it's just, but if you go through the scriptures at this point, now try to figure out how many people out there are walking like that, walking like children of Abraham and believing for the promises that we can read about in the scriptures. And there's quite a few, of course, but there's also the intellectuals too that are mixed in there, you know. So where's our balancing act? Our balancing act is to try to get that faith of Abraham. And it didn't happen for Abraham right away either, did it? It took him quite a long time to get that faith, to believe God, and finally him and Sarah had Isaac at a very ripe age, beyond any way to have children. And I think, you know, we try to beat ourselves over the head sometimes for not having the faith we think we should have, but at the same time, it's a growing process, and it doesn't happen for everybody at the same time what we can believe for. And I'm like, I still believe, trying to believe for things. And I find myself questioning myself, thinking, well, why don't I have the faith? And why am I not practicing it like a muscle? Like I need to be practicing it all the time, you know, going for this, going for that. Like David talks about going in the wilderness, you know, cause you know, you have a tendency to kick back and not practice your faith and just kind of do things the normal way all the time too, that you always do. So I just want to make sure everybody understands that this faith thing is something we all have the opportunity to try to work on in like a muscle. And some have more faith than others because they have a tendency to want to work it harder. They want to stay with it. They want to, you know, practice that. And I think that's what Abraham had to get to. And then you see it falter all the way through the scripture. Some people had it. A lot of people in Israel didn't. You know, you've seen the people fail in the wilderness. Most of Israel failed because they didn't have an eye for God. They didn't have that faith for God. But you got to, I feel sorry for them too sometimes too, that all these people that came out of Israel, they've seen all these great, wonderful signs, and we're supposed to think, well, why didn't they get this? Why couldn't they grab hold of what they were seeing? Well, you know, we have the same situation because we have all these testimonies, and that's basically our movie to see what happened. And that's our vision. That's our promises. And why aren't we grabbing hold of it? Why aren't we seeing it too? So I don't want to beat about any people that failed in the wilderness, because they had like all these years of captivity, up to 430 years or whatever it was in Egypt. And they probably went without that for a little while. And then all of a sudden be exposed to this awesomeness of God and the miracles he could do, and then trying to make them walk on faith. you know, it showed the difficulty they had trying to walk on faith. So in Hebrews talks about it, you know, let us, you know, not to fall short, you know, on the promises. It is something to really to grapple with. It's something to really examine and think, you know, Lord, I need to get this and say it's important. And so I just wanted to
just kind of, if you remember, Dave, yeah, after Abraham got it, okay, yeah, after he got faith, after he believed God, after he had Isaac, what did he do? He stayed in that faith.
Yeah.
Remember when he said, come on, boy, we got to go to the mountain.
And that's the thing, we need to understand how to get there and be like that.
Amen.
Go.
Yeah, amen. Go ahead, Tim. We've been waiting for a while. Yeah, that's the goal we need to go for right there.
I was listening to the discussion here, and it kind of, you know, I was thinking about the intellectual part and, you know, trying to figure it all out. And, you know, all the learning that we've done, you know, studying David and listening to the studies and getting all that knowledge. And it comes back to, you know, Mark 10:15, until you're like a little child, you know, that's the answer. And it's entering the rest and being as a little child. It, the harder, you know, we can read everything into it, but when you come full circle, that's where the answer is, it seems like.
I believe it. Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
No, I just wanted to say, well, you know, since we're getting towards the end here, I want to just say, hey, this is my prayer request, you know, for the night. I mean, thanks for bringing that up, Pat. You know, that just really kind of piqued my, I mean, just had me thinking about it all. And I was going to say about you, Michael, and others, I mean, I have that, I just admire that at times. I'm like, how can you just accept something? You know, you just, you don't have to, you know, think it through, you know, you just accept it and that's the way it is, you know, and you're settled, but it's just this mindset. So I pray, work this thing out of me, God. You know, I'm tired of this mental gymnastics.
Let me pray for you, Joe.
Yeah, amen.
Brother. Lord, I just thank you for giving him a simple brain. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, that's a one-way brain to Jesus. And he don't have to worry about trying to figure things out. All he has to do is just believe what the Word of God says. I thank you for that, for him and for Pat and anybody else that's got a brain that wants to analyze every verse and figure out what does he mean here, when all he has to do is just trust the Lord and obey him. And I thank you, Lord, that you're doing that in both of them and everybody else that needs it too, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know what really gets people going in faith is watching it in action. When you watch it in action, you understand that God is backing up his word. And when he backs up his word, you know he's going to do it for you too. That's what happened to me. When I got healed, I said, okay, if I got healed, I know other people are going to get healed because of my background. You understand?
Yeah. Makes sense.
The sinful life that I lived, and he healed me. If he'll heal Michael Hare, he'll heal you. So you better, you know, amen. Or whatever it was. Yeah, Leah.
I was going to say, with all your intelligence, you still don't compare to God. So you're not going to understand a lot of God anyway. He says his thoughts are not like your thoughts, or your thoughts are not like his thoughts.
Praise God.
Higher than yours, and that's all that's going to happen. So,
amen.
You'll never get enough knowledge to understand God totally. So.
There is something coming that's going to help people like you two and anybody else that's got that analytical brain. That is the anointing of God. The anointing of God will erase a lot of that garbage and bring you into that. I believe it. I just believe it. God said it. He wrote it in the Bible. It's so. Amen. Yeah, Dave.
Yeah, sometimes I can see where even kind of falls on what Leon is saying. We're trying to become what God already is.
Yeah.
And so we're trying to look at what is and think, well, how do I become that? You know, that's trying to comprehend that whole thing, you know. Not that we're trying to become as God, but how is that what he, and God is already that. He's already there, and he's much more than we can comprehend. But we're trying to understand that. We're trying to get that in mind. We're trying to get into that and have it become part of us. That's where it's really, it's so all this encompasses that. It's kind of a lofty, kind of crazy thought, but I'll let it go.
Well, no, if we stay with him every day, just like we talked about at the beginning of tonight, we stay with him every day and we talk to him every day and we give him the stuff that goes on in our life and talk to him and say, hey, Lord, I'm hearing some backfeed here. Let me see here. Am I hearing it now? No, that was Leon. Okay. Well, I lost my train of thought. Go ahead, Leon.
Peter tells us that we've been given everything for godly, everything pertaining to godliness and righteousness, and we can tap into the divine nature. Now, we can get a lot out of the divine nature, but we'll never become divine in this life. So, but we can do immense things with God's help and through his word, you know, and that's where it all comes down to, is in his word. That's where you get it all. And in Corinthians, it talks about the spirit of man does, only the spirit of man knows the man, and the spirit of God knows God, and the spirit of God will share that divine nature with you. So that's the way you tap into it, through the spirit of God. You know, he brings to you all the wisdom that you need and makes it all good. Praise God for that.
Okay, let me ask you just a quick question, Leah. What does divine mean?
What does divine mean?
Yeah.
I wouldn't know how to interpret that, really.
Okay. Regarding religion, it means...
It's not religion, that's for sure.
Well, in Webster's, it says, of relating to or proceeding directly from God, sense of God, or of God, divine love, da-da-da-da-da. So if that's correct, I guess it is. I don't know. Has anybody else got it? Because when you say divine, we're sons of God. We are sons of God.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And if that's what he's talking about, yes, we are divine. Now we're not God, just like you're talking. I believe that's what you were talking about. We're not God. We are sons of God in the respect that we follow in his steps. Somebody
Strong.
Yeah,
Strong's.
Well, Psalms 103.
What does it say?
Is it Psalms 103 where it says, ye are all gods, yet ye shall die like men? That's huge, because that means that the potential was there, and yet there were people that missed it and just died like men.
Okay, when you say the potential was there, what are you talking about? Because Jesus told us this. He told us this. The things that you've seen me do, you're going to do. Greater things you're going to do.
Well, yeah, but the text says ye are gods.
Okay.
But.
That's a small g.
Right, but ye shall die like men.
Yeah.
In other words,
calling the things that are not as though they were, but doesn't mean
right. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But in as much as Jesus is in us, that part is divine.
Mm-hmm.
That's That's why we have to feed the white dog and not feed the black one.
That's yeah. Jesus divine in us.
Yeah.
That's not us divine with Jesus. It's Jesus divine in
bye,
us.
Bye, Willie. You headed out the door.
He's taking us with him. Hey, there is a word religion that is mentioned in the Bible, though, and it's not mentioned in a bad way. It talks about pure religion. Is this
yeah.
to not be defiled by the world and to watch after the fatherless and the widows?
Widows and orphans, yep.
Widows and orphans. So, religion is not a terrible word. It's just the way we see it today in man.
The connotation today is pretty
But what's a widow and what's an orphan? I can understand keeping yourself unspotted from the world, but let's now see the spirit and not the letter in those three items, because I know a lot of people quote that verse and they understand the spirit on the last one and they don't get the other two right. A lot of people in the church really...
Think about that for next week. Amen. Think about that for next week. We'll talk about this again.
So divine is, in Strong's, is God-like.
Yeah.
It kind of matches that verse in John about Jesus talking about, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, that life in him.
Amen.
Amen. When you're talking about religion, I know if you read anything of the evangelists in the 1800s, they speak a lot of times, they'll use the word in a term religion, but it is meant in to reflect our the way our Christianity is supposed to be. That it isn't taken as a negative the way we do today.
Hey, Pat, why don't you close us out with a prayer?
Father, thank you for this time that you've been with us through this meeting. We thank you for being present in our lives, Lord. Just ask you to continue that with us, Lord. Teach us how to constantly focus upon you and maintain this conversation in a continual way all through the day. We thank you for that. Thank you for the Holy Spirit and to guide us into all truth. We trust you to guide us into this and allow us to rest in it, rest in faith in your word and trust and the confidence of your supply in all things. We just ask you to bless this night, bless our prayers, Lord, as we come to you and trust in your intervention in the lives of our loved ones and those that we're praying for. We just trust you that you are greater than all of the struggles that they and that we encounter on a daily basis. You're able to bring us through to you to see the face of God in our situation. We just ask for a spirit of repentance ahead of us, Lord, that we can touch hearts. Reach out and touch them with your word, your hand, and your spirit in their lives. We thank you for that. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for this night. Just bless everyone with a good night's sleep and bring us back again to meet with you again in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Hey, everybody.
Bless you.
Good night.
Good night.
Yeah.